today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
Most of us are looking for a brighter day. And our issues are a little different. But you need to hear that the Lord is calling you no matter where you are. His eye is on you. And no matter if society or the workplace or family or even the earth wants to eliminate you, God will never forsake you. That's why it's important to Him in every stage of your life to make sure your Redeemer lives in you.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, My Redeemer Lives. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Isaiah chapter 54, verses 6 through 8.
Isaiah 54, verse 6 through 8. Verse 6 through 8. And the word of the Lord reads like this, For the Lord hath called you like a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife, when you were refused, saith your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your what? Redeemer. Set out your Redeemer. Amen. The Lord's your Redeemer. Remember that word. I'm ministering a message, a series entitled Let It Go. Say, Let It Go. Our subject this morning at 8 o'clock, My Redeemer Lives. Say that with me. My Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. He's not dead. They used to sing a song years ago, God is not dead. He's still alive. Because I feel him in my hands and I feel him in my feet. I feel him all over. Amen. And I pray that you feel the Redeemer this morning. Feel him. Feel him close to you. Say in your heart, I just want to be close to you. Amen. To the Redeemer. Not to your bank account. To what you think is going to be security for you in the future. We all need a Redeemer. Father, I give you praise for this moment. And I pray that as I preach that you would be glorified. We have much to do. Even as we partake in communion. I pray now for a release to teach the word of God. And prepare our hearts for the communion. Give me power and accuracy to teach. As we set our sail for a brand new month, I thank you for victory. Even when we get to the end of this month, we will decree and declare victory. It will be realized and known by your people. We give you glory and praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Clap your hands and give him the praise. A little bit more monitor for me. Thank you. Bounce it back up just a little bit. There are times, even in ministry, thank you for doing that, we're finding ourselves. There are three things that impact every service. That's lights, temperature, and sound. And there's a responsibility that I have to make sure that there's a synchronization and a communication and a balance with those three. And in my spirit, when it's all right, we can move forward. I'm not saying that I'm the acid test for the move of the spirit, but I am a Levite in the midst of us. It is my job to make sure that the operations within the tabernacle are done decently and in order. We had powerful worship. We've gathered, as you can tell, in our church services. Nobody's entertained in worship. We don't let the praise team sing while we sit back and recline. Everybody is responsible for bringing a praise unto the Lord. Everybody is responsible for bringing God something that's living. We're not bringing him a dead sacrifice. We're bringing him a living sacrifice. That means your worship should be squealing, effervescent. You're not supposed to go to church and recline and give him a dead hallelujah, a mundane glory to God. You're supposed to open up your lungs and your voice and raise a praise to the Lord, because he's been real good to us. Let me say it again. I said he's been real good to us. He kept us out of darkness, brought us into the marvelous light. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, regulated my mind. He saved me just in time, and I've got to bless his name. I'm excited about letting it go, because there's some things we brought to this church service that we're not going to carry out of this building. It's impacted your money. It's impacted how you relate to your master. It impacts marriages. It impacts momentum. What you carry impacts your life. It impacts your message. If we can offload some things to God and let it go, we'll be more efficient and effective and excellent as we move forward. I read to you out of Isaiah 54, a very familiar passage. I love it. It's one of my most favorite books. It's in the New Testament of Isaiah, which has an Old and New Testament version. It's in the New Testament part of the Old Testament book of Isaiah. That is Isaiah 54. For the Lord has called you. Some of us tune our ears to what people say or who's calling us physically. But when the Lord calls you, it should arrest you. The Bible says, but I call you like a woman forsaken, which means something happened to you. The woman was like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit or withdrawn in spirit. For those that can't really embrace this, because he's speaking to a woman or a person like a woman grieved, I think everybody in the room can say we've been grieved before. Masculinity says it's not good to show it, but if you want to save your life, you better show something. That mentality where you can't cry and you can't say I need and you can't say I'm hurting needs to get out of the window, because we need to be true to ourselves. And the scripture is clear. The woman is forsaken and grieved in spirit. Like a youthful wife when she was, the scripture says, refused. And I'm going to get into that a little later, because I got to cover some ground. Your God is saying something to you, to those who've been refused, to those who feel forsaken. Verse 7 says, for a moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I have gathered you. For a moment, I did not embrace you. For a moment, I did not answer when you called. For a moment, you didn't feel my presence. For a moment, it seems like you were outside of the camp. But look at this. God's got a bounce back love. Scripture says, but with great mercies, hallelujah. With great mercies, I will gather you. I will assemble you. I will repackage you. I will redeem you. With a little wrath, I hid my face. I was angry with you. I didn't even want to look at you. So I hid my face for a moment. But look at the word. But with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Most of us are looking for a brighter day, a brighter day to arrive. We're waiting on a brighter day. We're hoping for a brighter day. We're dreaming of a brighter day. Actually, many of us are just trying to survive the present storm that we're facing right now. The storms that we're facing are both internal and external. Nevertheless, we're facing deep winds, strong winds, rains of adversity, floods of yesterday's past are all coming at us at once. And we feel like we have been eliminated. At 60, the workplace, when you're 60 years old, the workplace shifts. When you're 60 years old, the workplace shifts. You feel like the worst workplace itself is trying to eliminate you. New people are getting hired. You get aggravated real quick. They come out of school making a lot of money. It took you years, decades. Man, I'm preaching. Decades. To get just a little piece of the pie. And these companies are taking kids coming out of college. You got to train them. I said, you have to train them. I said, you have to train them. And you better have a good attitude. You better pray. You better pray real good. You can't have no bad attitude when you're training. Sometimes you train the person that's going to take your job. Let me say it again. When you're 60, the workplace changes on you. It looks like the workplace is trying to eliminate you. Get rid of you. No, ain't no but God yet. I got to still deal with it. It looks like they would rather have you leave the job so they don't have to pay all of those benefits. I'm a pastor. I deal with many people. No matter how successful or powerful you are, when you're dealing with your career, it looks like sometimes when you get older, like you're not valued as much on the job. And you look forward to being an ordinary person down the road. Hopefully you have invested in a retirement. And hopefully you've looked before now at your future. And you didn't eat up in the morning what you should be eating in the evening. Because I got a lot of young people that need to hear this message. You want a vacation and act like you retired. And you're eating up in your morning what you should be enjoying in your evening. And when you get 60, the workplace will try to eliminate you. Let's look at 70. I believe when you turn 70, society wants to eliminate you. The friends and the colleagues you used to have, you don't have anymore. The people you used to socialize with, they don't want to socialize like that anymore. It becomes fewer and fewer. People that you retired with don't seem to have the same mindset. hardly anybody recognizes you anymore. If you show up at a class reunion, they look at you twice. Billy, is that you? You gained a lot of weight. Sometimes you meet people when you're 70 that used to work with you for years and they act like they never knew you. Come on, Mac. Worked for Sears for years. And they act like they never helped them with their cars. Come on, Mac. They act like they never knew you. Because when you're 60, the workplace tries to eliminate you. But when you're 70, society does. What about when you're 80? When you're 80, your family slowly eliminates you. Even if you have many kids and grandkids, that's why you got to live for more than just children. Because there'll come a day where they won't visit you as much. All that time that you spent growing them up. When you turn 80 now, it looks like your family slowly eliminates you. They have their own families. They have their own problems. And they have their own issues. For some of us, it doesn't wait until you're 80. It happens a lot earlier. When you're 80, you lose a few people in your life. You may have to live alone. Or take care of a spouse that you never thought you would have to take care of. You better have more than just money in the bank. You better have a little bit more than just education. Because all of the strength and the fine you have now kind of goes out the window when you're 80. Let's go to 90. Oh, Jesus. When you're 60, your workplace tries to eliminate you. When you're 70, society tries to get rid of you. When you're 80, your family backs up a little bit. But when you're 90, the very ground you stand on is calling for you. The earth itself is waiting to gobble you up. I pastored a lot of people, and I'm telling you. Thank God for the 90s. But what is the plaguing thought is, how much more time do I have? Some of the people you knew for years have already departed. And there are fewer people that you grew up with that are still on the earth. Phone doesn't ring anymore. Have to have diapers changed. You mourn just a little bit more than you did 10 years earlier. Because your way of life that you're used to seems to be just beyond your grasp. And you got all of this wisdom, but nobody wants to listen. I believe that we need a redeemer. Because the passage that I read to you, many of you couldn't grab it when I first read it. But now, if I read it again, you may be able to partake. The Lord has called you in the state that you're in. Because most of us in this room are not 90, or even 80, or even 70. We have people in this room that are between 60 and 70, most of you, or between 50 and 60, between 40 and 50. There are people in this room that are in their 30s and some that are in their 20s. Most of us are looking for a brighter day. And our issues are a little different. But you need to hear that the Lord is calling you no matter where you are. His eye is on you. And no matter if society or the workplace or family or even the earth wants to eliminate you, God will never forsake you. That's why it's important to Him in every stage of your life to make sure your Redeemer lives in you. I want to talk for a moment about abandonment. It's such a stronghold in our society today. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. It should be on the screen in a moment. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget strangers. For by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. The Bible is clear. You got to be careful how you treat even strangers. Because sometimes God will send an angel. I'm talking about a real angel in your life. And because you're going through your stage, you won't be able to recognize it. I believe He sent angels in every decade to every person on the face of the earth. You may see him as a vagabond or as a person who's just strolling down the street, but God sent him your way according to the word of God. And you got to be careful how you treat people. Guess what? If you feel like the workplace is trying to get rid of you and family is trying to get rid of you and society is trying to get rid of you and the earth is calling you, or if you're a millennial or GX or whatever you are, you got to be careful how you treat people. That's why you got to let some stuff go, because God is sending aid to you. Even in angelic form is coming to you, and you need to be careful how you treat people and not just focus on what you're going through. Because your aid may be coming to you, but because of your attitude, you'll block the blessing of the Lord from entering into your life. Some have entertained angels without knowing it. Verse 3, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. We don't read this passage because we look down on those who are incarcerated. It says, remember those who are in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. You're not just supposed to glance at them, but you're supposed to look at them and say, what is it like to be locked up for 5 years? What if they were innocent? How would you want to be treated if you were locked up and snatched out of your family for 5 years? Or if it was a small infraction, but you had to pay the ultimate price. Be careful how you entertain angels. Then he says, remember those who are incarcerated. Because I believe God visits the ones that are incarcerated, not just the ones who are in prison. But I'm talking to people in this room who are locked down. I'm talking to people in this room that can't dream beyond your circumstance. Can't dream beyond the workplace that you're in. Can't dream beyond the society that's trying to kick you out or the family that doesn't call you anymore. Can't dream beyond the earth calling for you because there's no Redeemer in your life, or the Redeemer is on the back burner. I'm after you this morning. I believe the Redeemer put this in my soul to speak to the people of God that no matter what stage you're in, He's here. And don't lose sight of it. Don't go for your future without dealing with your Father. Glory to God, hallelujah. Believe me, when you get to your future, if you don't have your hand in His hand, you'll come up short. What does it profit for a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And what would a man give in exchange for a soul. Remember the prisoner. Remember those in prison. This is Hebrews 13, verse 3. If you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Some of us were on to the next one so much we never contemplate. If you were the one suffering, how would you want to be treated? I'm coming after the refuse today. And I believe vicariously as believers, as we ride down the road, we're supposed to ride, but we're also supposed to look out in our windows and see those who are suffering and imagine yourself being there if it had not been for your Redeemer. And it will keep you balanced in your life.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, My Redeemer Lives, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2407-0708. That's reference number 2407-0708.
The latest Revealed magazine edition is available on truthrevealed.org. You can download a copy or purchase a hard copy for $3 at the communication and promotion counter. Ladies, we invite you to join Pastor Sabrina for Women's Sunday School in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. It will be a time of fellowship, learning, and growth. See you there.
Vacation Bible School Praise Party 2 is from July 15th to July 19th. Register your kids ages 2 to 6th grade and grab those t-shirts using the mobile app or scan the QR code in the foyer.
Sign up for the life-changing Driven Group today. Scan the QR code in the foyer to unlock your life's purpose. Contact Elder Toby for more information.
Let's celebrate our business birthday on Wednesday, July 10th. Show Bishop some love online at truthrevealed.org, the Truth Revealed app, or Cash App at Truth Revealed 2. If sending a check, make it payable to Truth Revealed with Bishop's birthday on the memo line.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.